Okay, yeah, there we go. We this Sunday is our fifth Sunday, Youth Sunday, and we welcome you to that. We hope that your family and everybody is safe during this time. And this morning, I just wanted to direct this message to the youth and the Awana, but really, all of us can get something out of it. You know, all of us that put our faith and trust in the Lord. If we don't believe in the Lord, if we don't know Him as Lord and Savior, this message really doesn't mean a lot. But we've got to make sure we got have things right with the Lord. But you know, today things are a little uncertain, as Brother Jason said. Things are a little different. We've had to alter things in our life. We've had to adjust things and make sacrifices and maybe do things that's uncomfortable or maybe unnecessary. But we're blessed here in this church to have the technology to be able to broadcast our services. Some churches don't. And we need to pray for them as well. But let's pray for our church and all of you. We pray for all of you. And we also pray that God will bring a swift end to this situation with this disease, and so we can get things back to normal. Before all this, you know, we could jump in our cars, come to church, go wherever they want to. We'd come to church three services or more a week. Didn't really think of nothing about it, but we've had to think about it lately. Had to adjust. And Brother Jason was talking about how things in the past might have been different. And I was talking to my dad this week, back in the late 1800s. My great-great-grandfather, Robert Gilbert, was a Baptist preacher. He lived in Polk County, pastored a church there. And once a month, he would walk up to Sugarloaf Mountain in Edneyville and preach at Mountain Home Baptist Church. That's the church that Brother Craig Guerin preaches today. But he wasn't able to jump in a car and come up the mountain. There was no cars back in the 1800s. And so they only had a service every month up there. But you know what? People were still saved. The gospel was preached. God's work was done, even though they only had service once every month. And in fact, in 1980, I was saved in that church at 8 years old. And I thank the Lord for what He's done with that church and in my life. But you know, we have to do things the best we can. And I'm saying that to say this, you know, we're doing the best we can with what we have today. And I know each and every one of you would want to be in these pews. It looks weird looking out here and seeing bare pews. Yeah, we've got a few here, but it's different. It's just different walking in. There's nobody in the parking lot. There's nobody to greet you. But we've got to make the best we can with what we have. And so today, like I mentioned, I want to direct this kind of to the youth, but it applies to all of us. And I wanted to reflect back. I guess you could say the title of this message is Reflecting Back on God's Word. And the Lord brought this to mind. In Awana, for the last few years, we've had a theme verse every year. And I felt like He led us to look at those verses and reflect back on what He's done in the past. And it can help us today with what we're facing, not only with this situation of the disease, but with our lives in general. You know, there's only one thing that is sure, There's only one thing that is consistent, and that's the Lord and His Word. No matter what's going on in this world, His Word is consistent. And I think that's why Awana is such a great ministry, because it's focused on God's Word and the memorization of God's Word. So you kids out there that's learned those verses in Awana in Sunday school, Bible school, when you have tough times, just ask the Lord to help you. And I guarantee you, because He's done it in my life, that He's going to bring those verses back to remembrance for you, to help you in whatever situation that you're in. But today, this, like I said, this word is 100% truth. And we're just going to be looking at six verses, maybe a few verses as cross-reference. But this word has 31,102 verses in it that you can go to and meditate on and dwell on and pray over and help you with your lives. So at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Dear Heavenly Father God, we just thank You so much for this day. We thank You that we can be together today. Maybe not physically, but we can be together in spirit. We can be together connected by technology. But we know that, and Lord, sometimes technology messes up. But I'm thankful that that connection with You never messes up. It never goes down. It never slows down. It never blips. I'm thankful, God, that I can reach out to You and always ask You and be with You and pray to You anytime I want to. It don't matter. There's no dead spots. There's no places that You can't be reached on top of a mountain or something, God. And I thank You for that. And God, we pray as we look at Your Word that You would give us Your truth that we've been talking about this morning, God. That You would show us, encourage us, and be with us during these uncertain times. But help us to know that You're right there with us if we lean upon You. We thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. The first verse I want to look at this morning is Genesis 1:1. That was our first theme verse back in 2015. Genesis 1:1, very familiar verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. As I said earlier, God's Word is truth. Do you believe that God created the world and the heavens? The world doesn't say so. The world says otherwise. Also, verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Did you know God created you and me in His own image? In His own image. That's not what the world says. The world says we've evolved from animals. We've evolved from Neanderthals. But God's Word says that He created us male and female, not what we want to be or choose to be. He created us the way He wanted to, and He created us in His own image. Think about this. Why is the world so deceived? Why does Satan attack this verse so much? Why does he create so much doubt? Well, if he can get you to doubting Genesis 1:1, that God created the world and that God created you and me in His image, then you can doubt the rest of the book, all 31,102 verses. You see why that's so important? He can get you to doubt that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died for your sins. He can say, this is just a book of fables, a book of stories. It's not really true, but I'm here to tell you it's 100% truth. And it's the only thing we can lean on during times of trouble. So that was our first theme verse. in 2015. 2016 is John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, when we had this verse in 2016, we didn't really have any tribulation. But we're in a crisis right now. We're having a little tribulation. Probably not what some people go through. There's believers today that are martyred and put in prison for the cause of Christ. Think about Peter and Paul and all the disciples that were put in prison. Those that were killed, like Stephen, for the cause of Christ. He pretty much tells us we're going to have tribulation in our lives. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's in charge. This disease didn't catch him off guard. He knew it was coming. We can put our faith and trust in him. But like I said earlier, if we don't believe in him, these words don't mean anything. We have to put our faith and trust in him. It says that in me you might have peace. Not in the world or the government or our leaders or our own lives, our own selves. We can't have peace of our own selves, but only in Jesus. Like that song that was just sang, in Jesus. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. God allowed this thing to happen. And like Brother Jason said, we need to take the good. We need to focus on the positive. Look what happened in his family. There's people saved during this time. And I was thinking as I was studying this about, he was talking about spending more time with family. Maybe we do need to spend more time in his word as a family. I know I'm guilty of that. We've been in the rat race and of the world and just get busy and don't have time for it. But now we're stuck at home. Maybe we need to. We should spend more time together as a family with the Lord and build that bond together as a family as well as with the Lord, because there's so many distractions these days with technology. Makes me kind of yearn to be in a simpler time, maybe in the late 1800s, you know, when things weren't so crazy, you know. But as the Bible says, to such a time as this. This is where we're at. This is where, what we're facing. This is the time we live in. And God's word can prevail. Just like it says, I have overcome the world. Nothing that we ever can face, nothing that we ever can face can overcome him. 2017. Verses Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Those are very special verses to me. If we have Jesus, we are free from the burden of sin that can weigh us down, and Satan tries to capitalize that on and put weight on you. And I mean, we could preach a whole message on each one of these. I'm just really hitting the high spots. But you see, there is no condemnation if you know the Lord Jesus. Here again, like I said, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, this doesn't apply to you. But you've got to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But it says we're made free from the law of sin and death. I know there's a lot of people suffering right now from this disease, but not only this disease, but a lot of other things. And this is kind of grim, but kind of blunt. They may not make it. But if they've put their faith and trust in the Lord, there's really no death. They come from this life into the next to be with the Lord. So that's where our hope is. We don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about sin. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen to us. I'm not saying that we don't need to take all these precautions that we have. No, we do. We need to do that. But it changes our whole mentality. Our whole mentality when we face with situations like this. If we lean on Christ and put our faith and trust in Him. John 8:36 says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to carry that burden of sin anymore. We're going to talk a little bit about that a little later in another verse. Again, in 2018, our theme verse was Joshua 24:15. And this, again, is kind of talking about families. It says, "As if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, I admitted that I don't study as a family like I should, but I'd have committed that me and my house will serve the Lord. And I hope that's your commitment today too. As we can come together as a family and commit to serving the Lord, and that would be a priority in our lives. And then last year, 2019, again talking about our relationship with the Lord. It says, John 6:28-29, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" These were the people that were partaking in the feeding of the 5,000. They seen the miracle that Jesus performed in feeding the 5,000. And then after that, they come to him and says, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" So we've always got in our brains that we've got to do this, this, and this, and this to serve the Lord. And see, it says that we might work the works, plural, of God. We think we have to do several things to do what God wants us to do. But listen to what Jesus answers here. He says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work," singular, "of God. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him who He hath sent." That's all we need to do. Is believe on Him. A lot of times we get wrapped up in we've got to do this, we've got to do this. All we have to do is believe in Him. And that goes hand in hand with Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, I've come to realize over my life that it's nothing that I've done or can do that's going to make me pleasing to the Lord, because what I've done and what I do is definitely not pleasing to the Lord. But a lot of times we stop there in verse 9. Verse 10 in Ephesians says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So on our part, all we're supposed to do is believe and trust in the Lord. Believe that He died on the cross for our sins. Ask Him to forgive us for our sins. That's all we have to do. And then when we do that, His Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, and He gives us the desire and the want to and the ability to do what He wants us to do. That's where it talks about producing good fruit and that being signs of someone who knows the Lord. But it's not because of what we do. It's because of what He does in us. You see, not only does He give us the ability and the want to do it, He actually performs it through us. It says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. See, He's done planned it out, just like I read earlier, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's going to perform what He wants to in our lives, just like He's gives us peace and He says, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. You think about what He's done in your life and the promises and things that He's done in your life. Don't you think He can handle these situations all around you and in the world? He can. And now in 2020, our theme verse this year is Revelation 1:7. Says, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Here again, there's our hope. Sometimes we have to turn the blind eye to the situations in this world, like the coronavirus or other things we're going through, and focus on that day when He's going to come back and take us home. When you get to dwelling on those things, these things don't mean as much. You know? He's coming back. It's promising. Just like Genesis 1:1 says that He created the world, He tells us time and time again He's coming back. And just for a few minutes, especially with things like this going on, we kind of tend to focus on that. And I do believe this is the beginning of the end. In Matthew chapter 24, if you would turn over there, we definitely don't have time to go with this, but just want to hit a few things with that. In Matthew 24, the disciples were leaving the temple, and they were telling Jesus, look how beautiful this temple is and how glorious it is. And then Jesus tells them, one of these days, this place is going to be destroyed. Not one stone is going to be stacked on another. And we know from history that took place in 70 A.D., Romans come in and besiege Jerusalem. Then after that, now, let me get you the setting here. This conversation took place only 2 or 3 days before Jesus died on the cross. This was after Palm Sunday, after He rode in on the donkey. His disciples ask Him in Matthew 24:3, says, and He sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? And then He goes on in the whole chapter of chapter 24 and even into chapter 25. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 is the whole same account. And there's a little bit differences there, and you can go and study those, but we're just going to mention a few things here. In verse 4, He says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There's a lot of deception out there. There's going to be a lot of people that tries to bring a false hope to the world when the end starts to take place. Says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. We think about the little situation we're in right now, and it very well could be part of the beginnings of sorrows. We hear about wars and rumors of wars all the time. Let's look at these others just a minute. Famines. Think about the situation at the grocery store now with this global pandemic. How many have went to the grocery store and not been able to get what you needed or what you normally get? Probably all of us. I've heard of people taking stuff out of other people's buggies during this time. But think about the way it's going to be when it's really bad. Then it says pestilences. I guess you could call the COVID-19 a pestilences. Me being an apple grower in that field, I seeing changes every year. New diseases, new pestilences, new bugs and things that affect apples. Used to, the biggest problem with the apple was a moth and caused worms. Yeah, we still have that problem and we have to deal with that. But the new thing that's causing big havoc is a stink bug. And probably all of you have seen a bunch of stink bugs all around your house. 5 years ago, not a problem. All it takes is one bite from a stink bug on an apple, and it's a cold. Can't be used. Earthquakes. Do you know that there's hundreds of earthquakes every day around the world? They may not be of a high magnitude that would make the news, but go online and search earthquake or earthquake map and see how many earthquakes are today all around the world. It says all these are the beginning of sorrow. Now, we don't have time to go through all this, but I want you to realize that Jesus is coming back. And just like it says here, verse 31, it says, He shall send His angel with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Then He talks about the parable of the fig tree. He's coming back, folks. It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We don't know when it's going to be. Mark even takes it a step further and says, but of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. I say that to say this. We need to be looking for His return. Paul was looking for His return. John was looking for His return. The disciples were looking for His return. And we need to be looking for His return too. 1 Thessalonians says, For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? See, that's our hope, is His coming. Things are going to be totally different when He comes back. We're going to have everlasting life in paradise. No more sorrow, no more dying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's our hope in His coming. Paul was looking forward, and Timothy says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of them also that love His appearing. We are to look for His return. In the same account as Matthew 24 and Luke, I read the verse about Him coming in the clouds. Here's the verse in Luke. It says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The disciples ask, what are the signs of your coming? I think we're seeing some of the signs. We may be in the beginning of sorrows right here. When we see these things begin to take place, we're supposed to be looking up. We're supposed to be looking for His return, because it could be at any time. Only God knows when it's going to be. We're supposed to be looking for His return, and that's where our hope is. Lastly, I want to look at one last scripture in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Talks about the Lord coming as a thief. And it says it's going to be a thief for those that don't know Him. But we that know Him, it's not going to catch us off guard. It's actually in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Paul was telling the Thessalonians, you've done got what Jesus said in Matthew 24 about the times and seasons. I don't need to write to you about that. He says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you. We're looking for His return. We're not going to be caught off guard. We're going to be looking for Him. When it happens, we're not going to be surprised. But the world is going to be surprised. So I just ask that you put your faith in... Well, let me read this one more verse. He says, but let us who are of the day, that's all of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Like I said earlier, if we're not saved, if we don't believe in the Lord in Him, we don't have that hope of salvation. Because when that day of the Lord happens, it's too late. He's coming back to take us home that know Him. But if you don't know Him, you're not going to be saved. That's what saved means, saved from His wrath. Next verse, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus. Thank Him for the hope of salvation. Thank Him for all the hope and encouragement that He gives us. That's why His Word can bring encouragement and hope to us in all that we face. I've asked Jason and the girls to do that last song again. Do you have anything else? I was just going to close the service, and we're going to do that song, and then when that song's over, we'll end the broadcast. But while they're coming and getting ready, I want to leave you with this. I heard a message from Billy Graham a while back, and in his message, he was talking to a young man, counseling a young man. He was having some problems in his life. He didn't know what to do. He was at his wit's ends. And Brother Graham says, you need to read your Bible. And Brother Graham says, in it is the answers to all of life's questions. He says, maybe not specifically, but he says it's got the principles and the precepts to answer anything or deal with anything you may face. So remember that today. So let's reflect back on God's Word and run to it when we're in need. Run to it when we have problems. Don't delay. Come to His words. Thank you.